news and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Do you remember?
Right, of course, it's the 21st of September. We got to play this song. But I have got, this is what you would call bonus information. Our own sports historian in the building, Jeff Munn, says that there is more significance to September 21st than just this song.
Indeed, there is, Michael. 27 years ago tonight, 17th-rated Arizona State took on number one, undefeated, defending national champion Nebraska at what was then Sun Devil Stadium. They had been beaten by the Huskers the year before in Lincoln, 77-25, I believe. And that stuck with ASU head coach Bruce Snyder. Devils did get some revenge. They blanked the Huskers 19-0. They recorded two safeties in the game. I'll be honest, I don't think Nebraska's ever been, even now, has been tackled for a safety twice in a game. And the thing that always stays with me, and I talked about this on social media this morning, the then voice of the Sun Devils, Tom Dillon, and I can still hear his voice in my head as running back Amon Green very late in the game is running to what is going to be a touchdown for Nebraska, and he fumbles the ball at the 20. And you can hear Tom Dillon just scream, "Fumbles the ball!" You know, and it preserved the shutout. And it was a night, anybody who was there, who watched on television, and I'm sure the Pac-12 network will run it about 8 times today, so you'll never ever forget.
So here's the thing. I'm always impressed by your memory of sports, which the details of that game fresh in your memory is pretty amazing.
I had a lot of free time to think on stuff.
How in the world did you remember that it was September 21st?
Oh, I get reminded on, social media.
I just thought, wow, to remember the day.
I remember 96, but and that was obviously the year they went to the Rose Bowl and lost to Ohio State.
Yes.
But no, there's a lot of things I remember about that night. The students got on the field, tore down the south goalpost, and paraded it out to Mill Avenue at about midnight.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
See, so
unfortunately, the Cardinals didn't have a game there the next day.
Yes.
If they had, they would have been a world of hurt because there was no replacement goalpost.
So Jeff Munn, like all of us, has a freakish memory of certain things, but can't find his keys.
No, I can't remember what I had for breakfast, any of that stuff.
Jeff, thank you. That's pretty cool. For all you ASU fans out there, there's some glory days for you. The Jake the Snake Plumber era of the Sun Devils. All right, thanks for being here. We are going to jump into some serious issues. I think that's a terrific story. I love those sports stories. I love them, and I remember those days. I'd only been here a year when that happened. Did President Biden's order give pseudo amnesty to thousands of people, and was it the right thing to do? There has been a cry from the mayor of New York that we give work permits to people in the country illegally, that there's jobs they could be doing with overwhelming debt that it's causing cities. My problem with this is the rewarding of bad behavior. I think there was a compromise that should have been, I guess, for me, I think the compromise should have been addressed, which would have been, we tell people that are already here, you can either take your chances with your amnesty or with your asylum claims and wait in line and be told no and leave, or you can go across the border into Mexico or even into Canada, but go outside of the U.S. and make an application for these work permits, and you'll be given a work permit. I think that would have slowed the tide of people, the waves of people coming here. I think this is going to increase the problem. We were expecting an increase, or at least many people have been expecting an increase, because the warm weather, the heat is deadly. So normally when the weather moderates like it is now, the beautiful morning, we said, I think it was 67 when I got in my vehicle this morning. Our days are still pretty hot, but the nights are nice and cool, and it's safer for people. That this is going to increase that. The cartels are using American law, and they are using propaganda to encourage people to spend money to come here. And they're lying to them in many cases, but it's working. The message is not being sent back. So let's say you're coming from Venezuela and you're making this journey and it's taking you such a long time and it's dangerous and it's expensive and you're borrowing money and now you owe the cartels money to come here. The way you offset that and the way we've done this in the past is with a quick turnaround. There are flights that leave Arizona all the time. They may fly to another state and pick up until the airplane is loaded with people. And then they fly back to a home country like a Venezuela, and they go to these countries and they drop people off in their home country. And what happens is somebody takes this months-long journey. And they walk and they make their trek all the way to the U.S. to be turned around, loaded on an airplane and flown home. When they get to their home country, they are offsetting the words of the cartels, which they're saying, I spent all this money. I risked my life. I walked for over a month to get to the U.S. They turned me around. They put me on a plane and they flew me home. It wasn't worth the time. It wasn't worth the danger, and it wasn't worth the money. That does not take away the incentive for everyone. But it does take away the incentive from many. The cartels are telling people it's easy. You just get to the U.S. When you cross the border, you say the right words, you apply for asylum, and the court dates are years down the road. And in the meantime, you're able to stay, and then you can put down roots, and eventually you're going to be allowed into the country. That's what they're telling people. The vice president of the United States said, don't come. Those were her words, but it's not backed up with policy. So now you've got people that have come that have defied the orders of the American government. They have paid the cartels. They have come into the country under false pretenses, and now they're going to get work permits. And I think that word, that message, as of today, is getting to everywhere in the world, that if you can get there, you're going to stay there. That being said, it's because I have such a desire for legal immigration. I think we need a guest worker program. I came from the construction industry, and I can tell you, sadly, that we don't have enough people. That there are less and less Americans, and I'm hoping we change that. My association with EVIT, the East Valley Institute of Technology, the CTEDs, where they are teaching kids, WestMEC has a great program in construction, and I'm sure Metro Tech does as well. But it is teaching young people a skill set, encouraging women to get into the trades, whether it's in the field doing work or in office being project managers or estimators, and telling them that you can make a really good living in this world. I would love to see more Americans in that career. It was so good to me for so many years. But when we see it's not happening, here's how that would affect Arizona. Now, because I want to be clear that I'm not anti-immigration and I'm not anti-work permit. I just don't think it works this way. But here in Arizona, during, I think it was 06, 07, in that time period when the building industry in Arizona was going at full tilt, we were building about 65,000 homes a year in the state of Arizona. 65,000. We're at about half of that now. And it's because we don't have enough people. The immense expense in housing is because we have a shortage. We know that there is a shortfall in the number of homes that we need for the people that are here and the people that are coming. Rent is very high. Mortgages are very high because prices are high. And we don't have enough people to build these homes. If we could increase those numbers in construction, and a guest worker program would be a great way to do it very quickly, we could change that relatively quickly. That would be one of the changes that would help. It is sad that we aren't. And hopefully this is going to switch around. I would like to be wrong about this. I'll be honest. I hope I'm wrong. But let's see how big these numbers get. Coming up in a moment, we each caught up on the biggest news stories of the day with our segment called Did You Hear This? We'll get to it in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, let's get caught up on the biggest news stories of the day. Did you hear this?
Did you hear this? Broomhead's reaction to the hottest news stories.
Yesterday, the Federal Reserve held interest rates steady, but Chairman Jerome Powell says they could pass another rate hike before the end of the year.
We're prepared to raise rates further if appropriate. And we intend to hold policy at a restrictive level until we're confident that inflation is moving down sustainably toward our objective.
What does yesterday's rate hike pause do for the economy?
I don't know, and that's the question. We don't know what's going to happen next. And that's one of the part of the answer beyond that is the confusion. And I think the confusion is the right word. They're not quite sure what they're seeing. And until they know what is happening for sure, they're not going to make a decision. So usually the stock market is is based on trends and beliefs of what's going to happen. And there is fear that happens when people aren't sure. So I don't know if people are going to tread into this very lightly, or if you're going to see some people that say, hey, listen, now might be the time to get that loan or sell the house and buy another one. Because if rates are going to go up later on this year, let's sneak in while they're where they are right now. They don't seem like they're going to be getting any better anytime soon. And I don't know the answer to that. I think that the average person is kind of trapped right now with inflation still being very high. But as far as the people that are going to make bigger money decisions, I think they're as confused as they've ever been. And for me, I think that's scarier than knowing what direction you're going.
Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays said that the Phoenix City Council broke state law when it donated unclaimed guns to the National Police of Ukraine. KTR legal analyst Barry Markson explains what the law is on disposal of guns.
It's an Arizona law that does not allow the city of Phoenix or other municipalities to dispose of weapons that were used in crimes in any way. They have to be returned to the streets.
So what happens next year?
I don't know. I think the way this law is, are they going to try to push legislation through? And that's the only way that this would change. That would be more flexible and allow cities to do other things that they want to do. And again, I have respect for people that I disagree with. But in this case, I don't believe that it makes us more dangerous because these guns are being turned, because they're being sold. They're being sold to firearms dealers. They're not just being sold to anybody that wants one. The firearms dealers are required to do the background checks to sell them to someone else. So in essence, the idea behind this is the guns are being taken away from criminals. They're being sold by the police department, so there's more money into the police departments to do their work, and they're being sold on the street to legal firearms owners, and I don't have a problem with any of that. But there are those that think that the municipality should be able to make their own decisions on what to do, that it shouldn't be a state law. So we'll see what the legislature does. You are listening to Did You Hear This? We do it every day at 11:20 to catch you up on the big headlines.
At a recent House Homeland Security Committee hearing, a Yuma County Supervisor, Jonathan Lyons, said that while Yuma wants to help the migrants who come across the border, they should not have to shoulder the entirety of the cost that comes with it.
Last year, fiscal year, our cost specifically related to the illegals that were detained was $1.3 million, of which I believe maybe we were reimbursed 10% or 10 cents on the dollar, I should say.
Are you surprised by that number?
I'm surprised it's that low. I thought it would be higher. But again, this is the message we're getting from New York City. And I think I've been kind of talking about, I think this legitimizes the complaints and the plight of the people in southern Arizona and the southern border. These are communities that largely don't have big resources. They're not wealthy communities. They don't have what New York City has. If New York City, which has a newer problem than southern Arizona, is saying they are overwhelmed and they can't withstand, it's not sustainable, imagine places with limited resources like southern Arizona. This is part of why the Yuma Regional Medical Center and these organizations saying, we want to help, we just can't. I think that message is resonating because we're hearing it from bigger cities as well.
Maricopa County Superior Court Judge Scott Blaney has given the city of Phoenix a 45-day deadline to clean up the zone homeless encampment. KTR legal analyst Barry Markson explains how difficult it is to move people off the streets.
There are other court orders that say you can't remove people, that people have a right to stay on the sidewalk, they have a right to be in public places. They're kind of between a rock and a hard place in many instances. And there's also a lot of people who on the streets who want to be on the streets. They're not looking for a bed.
Will Phoenix be able to clear the zone by November 4th?
I think if they do, it's going to be miraculous and it's going to take a lot of legal wrangling because of what Barry is saying is true. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this as we move forward because it's an important topic. And I think that when Barry talks about this, and Markson's the attorney, I'm not, that you can't move people, you can't do this, but there is still a level of legal requirements that you have to fulfill in public. And if they're breaking those laws, I think that's a way to navigate this as well. I'm not asking for incarceration in place of homelessness, but we do have to have a level of human behavior in a community to make the community work well. Maybe there's some balance there. We'll see if that's the case. Great job as always, Julia. This is one of the biggest topics, and I think we're going to weave this in. We are talking about the economy, but I do want to talk about this situation of homelessness. And we'll do this in a moment, I think, and we'll move the economy to the end of the show, because I think this topic is really a big one with Phoenix, and I do think that the other municipalities, the other cities and towns around the valley are looking at this Phoenix case, and they're trying to figure out, based on what happened to Phoenix, how they're going to decide what they're going to do. So we'll discuss that next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
I would climb any mountain, sail across the stormy sea, if that's what it takes me, baby, to show how much you mean to me.
All right. A little Foreigner reminiscing. You know what this song reminds me of? It reminds me of Columbia House. Remember when you would get 14 albums for a penny, but then you were on the hook for the rest of your life to buy records? I bought every Foreigner album on Columbia House. All right, thanks for being here. Sorry, I do this every day, and I guess I should stop. But we got to talk about the zone. The court gives Phoenix 45 days to clean up the zone. We just heard, and Julia played a very significant piece of audio from Barry Markson and his opinion on this. The city of Phoenix is in a tough place because of the laws that are out there that say that there's a lot of laws that say you can't move somebody from the sidewalk. So that may be true. And it is, I'm saying it is true. I agree with him. But there are also a lot of laws on the books about our behavior in public. This is a message that has got to be two-tiered. Or I would say a parallel message, and both sides have to be respected. One of them is that these are human beings, that we have to see them as human beings, that the problem is homelessness. The problem isn't the people. And I just look at human beings that way and want to help if I can, if they'll take help. But like you said, there are some people that don't want help. They're not asking for a bed, and you can't force them off the street. That's what there's a lot of federal laws. The ACLU is also suing the city of Phoenix for their behavior. And I guarantee you that other cities around this valley that are dealing with the issue of homelessness, watching very closely. And Phoenix is going to be the litmus test. They are going to be the litmus test for how other cities are able to handle this. But there are also laws on the books for behavior. Drug possession, paraphernalia possession, intoxicated in public, whether it's public nudity or sexual activity in public, relieving yourself in public. You can't block a walkway. You know, if we had an issue in my neighborhood once with some between neighbors, and they were piling boxes up on the sidewalk and they were blocking the sidewalk. And, you know, there are some people in neighborhoods that have an issue and they can't step off the curb. They may be, you know, maybe they're using a wheelchair or a walker. So you've got to keep the sidewalk unblocked so that people can make their way down the walkway. Those are all rules that have to be lived by. So if you're breaking that rule, then you have to move. That doesn't mean we're kicking you out or arresting you, but you can't be there. If we enforce those laws, if we let people know, we understand that you have certain rights, but so do the people around you. We're going to respect yours. You're going to respect everyone else's. And we're going to coexist as best we can in a situation that's not good for anybody. If we lived by those parallels, if we saw them as human beings, but they also understood that they had accountability in their behavior, we could go a long way in solving a lot of these problems. You wouldn't see it, you know, so you can't say to somebody, you can't be on the streets. You can't kick me out of here. This is a public place. Okay. But we can say you can't build a tent on the sidewalk. We can say you can't sleep in the street. Here's another part of this. I feel for people that don't have a home. But when I come into work, I take the surface streets more often than I take the freeway because I've come in so early. It's just a nicer drive. And I have seen on many occasions a homeless person with a shopping cart full of their property at a bus stop. And the shopping cart is outside of the bus bench. And this person is asleep on the bench. and there is somebody up that early like I am on their way to work that is standing and waiting for the bus because somebody is sleeping on the bench. That's not acceptable human behavior. And anybody out there that says that it is, it isn't. It's rude. And it also should be stopped. The police should be able to say to that person, you can't sleep when other people need a place to sit down. They're waiting to go to work and you're sleeping on a bench. I'm not rude. I'm not heartless. I'm not any of those things. But there is a way to coexist where everybody is held to a minimum standard. Because if you slant, you are ruining people's attitude toward helping when you say, nothing I can do. They can build a tent. They can do drugs. They can leave paraphernalia. They can commit acts of prostitution and commit other crimes. They can be wasted in public and behave like idiots. They can pass out on the sidewalk, and there's nothing we can do. The attitude toward people in that case is going to be angry. But if we say to people, we're giving you options. Would you like a bed? Would you like help to get off the streets? Nope, I'm good. I want to be on the streets. Okay, we understand that. You can't block the walkway. You can't block entrances to business. You can't be unclothed. You can't be high. You can't be drunk. You can't have drugs or paraphernalia. Just like everybody else in society, you've got to live within the confines of the law, and we will enforce them. That is a civilized society where everybody feels as if it's not a perfect situation, but people are coexisting. And then dealing with the problem and saying to people, and it's not just my responsibility to deal with it. And this is what I love about private organizations, because private organizations have a standard. They are the best at helping people because they say to people, we want to help you. We want to house you. We want to clothe you. We want to feed you for as long as you need it. But if you do, you've got to obey our rules. You've got to stay clean. There will be no drugs or alcohol. You've got to be looking for work. You've got all of these requirements. If you'd like our help, we're happy to give it to you. And we're going to give you enough help where if you work hard enough, you're going to get out of your situation. But it's not going to be one-sided. We are not just going to open a door and say to you, stay here as long as you want, do nothing. It doesn't work that way. And there are rules. And if you break our rules, you're going to have to leave. And then you've got to fend for yourself out on the streets. Those are the best programs, because the people that are serious about help and getting out of their circumstances know that that's the best path forward. I don't envy the city of Phoenix at all, but they've got to move forward. And I'm telling you that they have to have enforcement along with kindness, that they have to have programs, but you've got to get individuals. And I can't stress this enough, that the people that are find themselves in this situation, self-created or not, are the only ones that can solve the problem. We have a responsibility, and I believe it is our responsibility as a society to help our brothers. That when we have brothers or sisters that are on the street that find themselves in a bad situation and we are able to help, I think we have the obligation to help. But they have to do the work. We assist, but they have to do the work. I keep equating it to illness because in that case as well, whatever it is for you, the doctors can give you the best advice and have the best medication and the best equipment and tools available. But if you don't work the plan and you don't take the medication and you don't do what's necessary, you don't get healthy. It is you have to do the work. Whether it's your fault that you're sick or not, you have to do the work. And this is no different. Before we close it out, we are going to address specifics of the economy, starting with gas prices, because that affects people immediately, both private and public, you know, companies as well. So we're going to discuss why this is happening and what possibly could be happening next. All that coming up here in just a couple of moments. If you've been considering selling your home and you'd like to get great cash offers in just seconds, it's simple. And there is no obligation, which I think is an important part of this. Go to the website, higherprice.com. You put in your address, you hit enter, and receive your home's highest cash offers in just seconds.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Oddly enough, the very first record I ever bought with my own money, this one, Pieces of Eight by Styx. At some point, I'm going to realize nobody cares about what I think about music. Thanks for being here. Fed holds the rate steady, but pencils in one more rate hike this year. We always mix politics. I think in our own mind, we mix politics with a lot of the other things that happen. This, to me, is about policy and about the way we do things. There is far too much money, in my opinion, and this, I guess, is political. There's far too much money that's taken out of the American economy by the governments. And it is the federal government, it's the state government, it's the local government. If you look at the success that Arizona has had in the last 10 years, it has been because the state of Arizona has reduced the tax burden on businesses and individuals. They have actually said, you are going to give us less of what you have earned. You're going to keep more of what you've earned. Our coffers, our state coffers have gone up. Our economy has dramatically expanded in not only size, but in diversity. What they've also done is reduced regulation, and they have said, we are going to do the best we can to unleash the entrepreneurial spirit. We are going to release the American economy and allow them to do what they do best. The government doesn't create jobs. I mean, the Biden administration talks about job creation just like the Trump administration did. Governments don't create jobs. What they do is create atmospheres. They create environments by more regulation and more taxation or less of both. And we have seen around the country in states where there are lower taxes, talking about income taxes, and lower regulation, we have seen those states thrive. There is a mindset that believes that wealth equals greed, and business owners are callous and uncaring. And I don't believe that to be true. I can tell you from the very wealthy people, and I know some of them that are very wealthy people, individuals, they are very good stewards in their community, and they are somebody that spends part of their life making wealth, generating wealth, and then they spend the rest of their life giving it away. The same thing with businesses. I have the privilege to be associated with a lot of very good businesses in town, and they are as proud of their charitable contributions as they are in the business that they've built. Now, there's nothing that's an absolute. There are greedy people that cheat on the welfare system, that have no money, but they cheat the system, just like there are wealthy corporations that cheat the system as well. So there, no one has a corner on that market. What bothers me about this conversation is, in the end, most people want the government to leave them alone. When an individual looks at their paycheck and they look at their pay stub and they say, this is, when someone says, how much money do you make? You give the pre-tax dollar amount of how much money you make, whether it's an hourly wage. I make $30 an hour. I make $20 an hour. Or you have a salary. This is my salary. You don't account for it. But when you look on a piece of paper of how much of it you actually keep, and then you take a look at how what you spend in taxes and fees when you sales taxes and things you buy. But you also have to factor in, and this was one of the Reaganisms I really loved. I remember him being on Johnny Carson years ago and talking about at one time back when he was a child and Johnny Carson was a child, that the governments in total, state, local, and federal government took about 15 cents of every dollar from the American people. And at this time when he was running for president, this time in the 1980s, Ronald Reagan said, right now we're at about half. And that's in total. And so I think it's probably much more than half now. And so when a business gets taxed, you pay it. Now, when fees go up, I've said this so many times in my industry when I was in construction, if I had to pay for a license, if I had to go get a permit, you paid for that permit. I didn't. If I was going to do a service change on your home, if you had the electrical service on your home needed to be upgraded, and the city of Phoenix or whatever city I did the work in was going to charge me $125 for the permit, you paid that $125. I put that as a line item on your bill. It's $125 for the permit. So when the city says we're going to raise the permitting fees and I'm going to now have to pay $150, you pay that $150. That cost gets passed off onto you. And people don't realize that the excuse to continue to raise taxes is always going after the wealthy businesses. And in the end, the consumers pay it. So we have in this country a spending problem, not an income problem. And I think the sooner that someone out there in either party, because both parties have been guilty of overspending, but when somebody explains that well to the American people, there will be those that disagree with it, but there are going to be a huge majority of people that understand it, that taking away the power from the government's a good thing for us. And that's not being hateful of government. It's just saying that I think governments should not be as strong. That's all that is. So, keep in mind, I think smaller government is better for everyone. That's what leads to my political decisions, because that's my policy belief. All right, we are just about out of time. You hear the music playing. Social media users, if you use Twitter or X, I don't know which one to call it anymore. X, I guess it is. At Broomhead KTAR is me personally. Check out our podcast, Amazing Arizonans. We have got part two of my friends, the Hoopers, former FBI agents, a husband and wife team with some incredible stories. Go and check them out at KTAR.com. Have a great day, everyone. God bless.